Good morning, Teachers on Fire. How are you doing on this Saturday morning? Thank you so much for joining me as I review some of the top posts on X from around the world from this past week. What is warming our hearts, sparking our thinking, and igniting our professional practice? Let's get right into it with some of the heartwarming stuff, shall we? I found this post from @teachergoals, and I thought it was pretty funny and maybe might give us a few chuckles as we start off this week's show. They said, scare a teacher with four words. Scare a teacher with four words seems kind of appropriate for the month of October, and particularly as we just taught on a Friday the 13th. Dr. C. Tennyson says, you're moving classrooms today. And she goes on to say, this happened to me the day before students arrived 1 year. Wow, that would be a tough four words to hear. Absolutely. Tanya Gonzalez says, substitute teacher never came. That is indeed scary. I live that all the time. No, pardon me. What I do live, I should clarify, is substitute teacher not available. That would be my four words. Peter Embleton says, we are balancing classes. Sherry Burnett says, no money for you. Lori Manville says, Wi-Fi down all day. Christy Everhart, there is no internet. So yes, Wi-Fi can change teaching plans in a hurry. Desmond Hasty says, parent-teacher conference Thursday. Jennifer Gates says, no supply teacher available. There we go. She feels my pain. And your prep is canceled. Dr. Erica Garcia says, $5 for jeans. That's a reference to, unfortunately, some schools do this where they ask teachers to pay a donation in order to be allowed to wear jeans. Hobbs says, principal wants to talk. Parent-teacher conference requested. Funding for arts cut. Let's look at a few more. Dr. Catherine Suk says, there are no subs. Kate says, grades are due tomorrow. Melissa D, is this for marks? Oh, the dreaded is this for marks question. Got to give that a like. Thank you so much, teachers, for engaging with that post from @teachergoals. Let's go into some more positive, or not more positive, maybe perhaps a little more affirming kind of content from Dr. Brad Johnson. He says, teachers, never take for granted a leader who makes you feel supported, encouraged, and appreciated. Let them know you appreciate them too. Thank you so much, Dr. Brad Johnson. And he adds the hashtag National Principles Month. And I wasn't aware that it is National Principles Month, but thank you, Dr. Brad Johnson, for this reminder not to take our leaders for granted. So on that note, I want to shout out my principal, Andrea Weeb. Thank you, Andrea, for doing all of these things so well. You support and encourage and appreciate me. Just yesterday, it happened to be my birthday, and so Andrea ordered in the largest chicken sandwich I have ever seen, and that was an unexpected blessing. So thanks again, Andrea, for that. Let your leaders know that you appreciate them. Okay, moving on to the next post. This one is close to my heart as well in a pedagogical sense. Jason Kennedy, who happens to be a writer on the Teachers on Fire magazine at medium.com. That's a Medium publication. Ask me if you are interested in learning more about that. But Jason says, how to change? Let me try that again. Okay, this is point number two of how to change from teaching to learning. There we go. Instead of posting a learning target out of compliance, try putting the target to use, letting it drive the convos with learners before the learning of the day, the feedback around the task, and the progress discovered when class ends. All right, so some context here. Learning targets, I am convinced, are incredibly powerful. They are incredibly important. They drive the learning. They drive our instructional decisions. They allow students to see what the goal of the learning is. Why are we doing this? Is kind of always answered when the learning target is established and present in the classroom. But there definitely are some teachers or educators out there who critique learning targets and this practice of using learning targets from the perspective that they are a waste of time. They are this empty procedural ritual that we are asked to do, and they amount to nothing, and learning targets by themselves don't create learning. And there's a lot that can be said that I won't get into right now, but suffice it to say, they can be an empty ritual if you're leaving it there. But here's where Jason comes in and says, listen, how do you change from teaching to learning? How do you make this more powerful? Instead of posting a learning target out of compliance, put that target to use. Are you talking about it? Are you using the words from the curricular standard in your teaching, in your instruction, in your conversations with students? Is that all happening? Why have I not retweeted that post or reposted that post? There we go. Thank you again, Jason, for that. Okay, Natalie Vardabasso at Nata Basso. You can follow her there on X. She says, building an empowering assessment system begins with crafting compelling learning goals. We cannot recruit student investment without them. Assessment was meant to be a process where we sit beside each other as learners, so we need something worthwhile to talk about. I see this on the micro and on the macro. So on the micro scale in the classroom, she's talking about compelling learning goals, right? Compelling learning goals. And I think absolutely that goes back to what Jason Kennedy was just talking about. We need learning targets that are established, they're identified, and they are compelling. So we've made the case that these learning targets actually matter to students and to their growth, to their future, to their learning journey as they make their way through K-12. So that's one thing. On the micro, in the classroom, we need to make the learning targets compelling. But I was also thinking about the macro. As an education community, what are we doing to make the learning compelling on the macro as well? Traditionally, what this has looked like is the reason you work hard, students, is because you want to get the good grades. And you want to get the good grades so you can win the scholarships, so you can make your way into college and university, so you can make more good grades there, so you can move into the corporate world, get that high-paying salary, and move on with a prosperous life. That dream or that pathway is changing. We know it's changing. We know that college and university degrees are not delivering the way that they used to. We know that the entrepreneurial pathways that are forming all the time are offering students more powerful options than ever before. And of course, the internet and the gig economy and all of that is changing the landscape of what is available and what is valuable to learners. So we have to create a better narrative, a better compelling argument, if you will, for students than simply saying, get good grades, get the good job. What on the macro level, across all of our classrooms and across all of our school systems, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Why is it important, right? We need to make that case. One more thought on this. I so appreciate here in the Canadian province of British Columbia, this reliance, this emphasis on the core competencies. And you can see them here. Maybe I'll zoom in a little bit more for the YouTube viewers. If you're listening to the podcast, I'll do my best. But the core competencies exist from K-12. These are relevant at every grade level. They are important at every grade level. They are taught and integrated at every grade level. And they are communication, creative thinking, critical thinking, positive personal and cultural identity, personal awareness and responsibility, social responsibility. So again, we are not just in the classroom to do some learning that is going to be one more stepping stone to college and university. It's actually bigger than that. It's better than that. We are growing whole people, and we need to make sure, I think most teachers are aware of that and sort of have that vision, but we need to make sure we are sharing that with our learners as well so that they understand the vision as well. Natalie, I probably took that way, way further than you ever intended it, but there we go. That's my take. Moving on to TCEA, they shared a graphic that I thought was pretty cool, and this is particularly relevant in the area of literacy. But we all teach literacy, right? Even the science teacher teaches literacy. The social studies teacher teaches literacy. So you've heard that before. These are all going to be helpful when it comes to supporting our English learners. 8 ways to scaffold writing. And part of the reason I love this graphic, I suppose, are the cute little illustrations that go with each one. I'll just read through the list quickly. 1, sentence frames. 2, sentence stems. 3, mentor texts. 4, interactive word walls. I've got an interactive word wall on my fridge right now that was tastefully rearranged recently. Okay, let's keep going. 5, model writing. 6, quick writes, number 7, language experience, and number 8, mentor sentences. This was posted by TCEA, but it was originally created by @ValentinaESL, so want to make sure that she gets credit for that. Valentina, such a great graphic, so many good reminders there. Thank you for sharing that, and TCEA as well. Thank you for reposting. Moving into a heartwarming and also powerful, I'm going to say a powerful community post from Alina Aguilar, who is one of the top instructional coach voices in the field today, and I'm proud to say former guest of the Teachers on Fire podcast. She says, the magic isn't in the words. Oh, by the way, and you can find her on X at Bright Morning TM. She says, the magic isn't in the words, it is in your presence. The words themselves aren't particularly powerful and they can even feel empty, but they can be transformative if delivered with full presence, attention, and care. So she says, the coaching question that feels like a hug is, tell me more. Very, very simple. But I was thinking about that in terms of whether you are an administrator working with teachers or you're a teacher working with students, you can always say, tell me more. You can invite more conversation. You can signal interest and investment in the conversation, in the person. And I think it's a powerful reminder. So thank you, Elena, for this. Very, very helpful. Moving to Alice Keeler, who is, as you know, one of the foremost Google experts you will find on X. She says, remember, engagement isn't synonymous with fun. It's about stretching students' cognitive abilities and rewarding their efforts. Challenge is key. Challenge is the key. Thank you so much, Alice, for that. And I probably sold her short by saying she's describing her as a Google expert. She's also a math instructional expert as well. And frankly, so many more hats. She wears a lot of them. But I like this point that engagement isn't synonymous with fun. A lot of times we conflate or reduce engagement to smiles and laughter and kids having the time of their lives in the classroom. All of those experiences are wonderful and helpful for learning, but I think it's important to remember that engagement comes from challenge as well. We need to build in appropriate challenge. Sometimes the word rigor gets misapplied, but are students being challenged? Are they being stretched a little bit, pushed in their thinking, and maybe having to apply some cognitive strain, let's say, for lack of a better term, productive struggle. There's the term that I was looking for. Are they having to engage in some to master the skill or the competency in question? Last post that I'm going to share today comes from Ashley Aoki, who happens to be a fellow educator here in British Columbia. You can find her on X at Miss Ashley Aoki. She says, my students' learner profiles will look something like this. I've read almost everyone a small window into their lives, a beautiful keepsake that reflects who they are at this moment in time. And she shares, for the podcast listeners, I'll do my best to describe it, but it's a graphic or a poster with a selfie in the center and then a number of squiggly arrows pointing out around the, sort of picture it like a clock. And so we've got arrows pointing out from all directions at her face. Now, the part of the reason I'm interested in this activity is I do something similar with fifth graders in Canva, and it's an activity called the Learning Map, and it comes from something I saw during my master's in educational leadership studies at the Vancouver Island University. The version that I tend to use is much more visual, has many more images. This one is much more text-based. So really the only image on the poster, or images, I suppose, are Ashley's face and feathers in the corners. The rest of it is all text-based. But I thought one of the pros, obviously, is just the fact that kids can do so much more writing and listing here. And so I'll read out the headings that she has around her poster. Activities I enjoy when I'm with family. I'm interested in or good at, my hopes or dreams are, the easiest way for me to show what I know is, one thing I would like to get better at this year is, activities I enjoy when I'm alone, favorite books, things I like to do with friends, words that describe Miss Aoki. So just great modeling for students, an interesting poster for all of us, and something I would like to try with my intermediate learners at some point. Thank you for that. And I had to, of course, follow up with Ashley and say, hey, what did you make this on? Was it on Canva or Adobe Express or something else? And her answer was on Canva. So Canva, that's another win for you. And thank you, Ashley, for sharing that post and continuing to inspire our fellow BC educators each week on X. Well, thank you for joining me again on the replay or on the podcast, Teachers on Fire. I so appreciate your support. I hope that you found content this week that warmed your heart, sparked your thinking, and ignited your practice. And I wish you all the best as you go into the weekend. I hope it's a restful and refreshing time. During these challenging times in education, make sure you're sharing an encouraging message to lift up a colleague and keep your own fire for learning burning bright. Take care, and I'll see you next week.